Today is from the New Testament, from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 11, and that's found in the Pew Bible on page 961. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some may have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Thanks be to God.
Let's share our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In our reading in 1 Corinthians 15, which we had earlier, the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth of what he describes as being of first importance. I delivered to you as of first importance. How would you finish that sentence? If you found yourself saying those words or writing them in a letter or an email, how would you finish the sentence? What is of first importance to you? Your family, your health, your career, your garden, your entertainment, what is of first importance to you? Perhaps since we're in church, you might be trying to think, well, what is of first importance in my faith? What would I say is of first importance when I think of God and faith and the life of being a Christian? Notice how Paul finished that sentence. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. The death of the Lord Jesus on the cross, together with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus from the empty tomb, these two things together are what Paul describes as being of first importance. In the rest of this chapter, in 1 Corinthians 15, the apostle is going to write for us about the resurrection, and in particular, what it means for us to be living the resurrection, to engage in the resurrection in our lives now. Living the resurrection is the life of a disciple of Jesus. This is the theme of this great chapter 15 in 1 Corinthians. And over the next few weeks, we're going to think about the paragraphs there in 1 Corinthians 15. For Paul, as for all first century Jews, and indeed almost all people alive at the time, resurrection did not mean life after death. That's not what resurrection meant. Most people alive at the time Paul wrote this letter believed in life after death. That wasn't a discussion topic in the first century. But resurrection is a particular word used to describe God bringing his kingdom. God establishing his kingdom and making a king in his kingdom to reign over all creation. In preaching that the Lord Jesus had been resurrected, Paul was not saying that Jesus was alive again after he was dead, although that was true. He was saying that God had resurrected Jesus and brought about the beginning of his kingdom. The kingdom of God has started. It has come. And in the resurrection of Jesus, you are all invited to join in. Helpfully, we can show this on a wee diagram. The present age is where everyone in the first century believed that we were living. People were born and lived and died, born and lived and died, born and lived and died. After they died, they knew life after death. That was the present age. And that was going to continue from the beginning of creation all the way along, born, lived, died, born, lived, died, born, lived, died. Think about all these genealogies in the Bible. This is what they're testifying to. Born, lived, died, the present age. And then, at the end of the present age, God was going to establish the coming age, the kingdom of God. This is perhaps the main theme of the teaching of Jesus. God's kingdom has come. God's kingdom is coming. The coming age comes at the resurrection. There are only two ages, the present age and the age of the resurrection, the coming age, the kingdom of God. That was the traditional Jewish understanding of all creation. This is how it was going to work. But what Paul and the apostles and the first Christians realized was something had happened before the end of the present age. Before the end of the present age, Jesus had been crucified and raised from the dead. Unexpectedly, completely surprisingly, a resurrection had happened before the end of the present age. That's what they were preaching. That's what they were declaring as good news to all the earth. The resurrection has started because Jesus was raised again from the dead. That means there's an overlap. If you like, the present age continues, but before the end, there's an overlap period. And that's where we are now living, in that overlap period. The resurrection has started. The kingdom of God has come in Jesus, just as he said it would. When Jesus stepped over the threshold of the tomb, he changed everything. He transformed the present age by the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. And that's what the apostles preached as good news. We no longer need to wait till the end of the age for resurrection. Resurrection is breaking in before then. The kingdom of God has started. This is what is of first importance to Paul and the other apostles and all the New Testament authors to communicate to the church and to all people everywhere. In the resurrection of Jesus, the kingdom of God has started. It has already come. Stepping out from the tomb, Jesus, the King in God's kingdom, calls all people into that kingdom. With an open invitation, Jesus says, today you can become citizens of the kingdom of God, right now. You don't need to wait for the end of the age. Because the kingdom of God is breaking in before time. You can be resurrection people right now. This is what Jesus declares in his resurrection. This is what Paul and the church preached. This is where we are called to live. Live the resurrection. Enter the kingdom. This is what is of first importance. King Jesus has been resurrected. He is the king in God's kingdom. In verses 3 to 9 in our reading, the apostle shares with us some of the evidence to support the resurrection of Jesus. Well, there's eyewitness evidence. Cephas is Peter, the 12 are the 12 apostles, not counting Judas, but including Matthias. More than 500 at one time. James, the leader of the church in Jerusalem, and then Saul, who became Paul. All of these are eyewitnesses, testifying to seeing the body of Jesus, not revived, not resuscitated, but transformed in resurrection into a kingdom of God body. Alive again, eating, drinking, touching. Recognizable, yet strangely at times not recognizable. Eyewitness testimony of this kind is good. The tomb really was empty. Jesus' body really was resurrected. He is alive. But there's more than eyewitness testimony. Paul adds the testimony of Scripture. At the time Paul wrote these words, probably AD 56, round about then, most of what we call the New Testament hadn't been written. Hardly any of it had been written down. When Paul refers to the Scriptures, the death of Jesus according to the Scriptures, the resurrection of Jesus according to the Scriptures, he means what we usually call the Old Testament. Paul is not writing here about the evidence of a few verses taken out of context and plunked down as proof texts. What Paul's writing about is the big coherent story of the whole Scriptures. God has acted in love and grace to renew and redeem all creation. This is what God has done. God has acted to bring his kingdom, his reign, into all creation. God has promised that he would set his king in his kingdom. And now, Paul says, he has done it in Jesus. Verse after verse, chapter added to chapter, 39 books of testimony to the great purpose of God to bring and establish his kingdom. Paul says, there you go. Everything that God said he would do in the resurrection of Jesus, he has done. He has renewed and restored all creation. He has brought his kingdom at work among us. The testimony of the eyewitnesses and the testimony of Scripture together, the resurrection is of first importance. The gospel is the coming of God's kingdom. This is what the good news is. In the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, you and I and everyone else is invited into God's kingdom. This is of first importance for us. We need to hear and accept this gracious invitation of God in the resurrection of Jesus to become citizens in his kingdom, children in his family. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus is of first importance. Because through the resurrection of Jesus, grace is given to God's people. Did you notice in verse 10, Paul writes of grace? By the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though not I, but the grace of God that was in me. Grace is a gift from God to Paul, a gift of God's love and mercy given through the victory of the resurrection. Notice that Paul writes about grace. By the grace of God, I am what I am. The story of Paul is a story of rebellion against God, a story of his violence against the people of God. Paul is a Christian because he has been transformed. He has been changed by amazing grace. Paul has been changed from a citizen who lived only in the present age to a citizen who now lives before death in the kingdom of God. This is what grace achieves in the life of God's people. No one ever started out as a Christian. Not a single person ever in the whole of history. No one by nature believes the gospel. Everyone by nature has been a rebel against God's king and against God's kingdom. Our life as disciples of Jesus, our being citizens of God's kingdom, depends absolutely upon grace, not upon us, not upon our nature or our faith or our understanding, but upon God's amazing grace. All the blessings of the gospel are made real in your life and mine by the victory of the resurrection. The coming of the kingdom, which is the resurrection of Jesus, is the dawning of new life. New life for the people of God, our new life as the children of God. Paul writes, "The grace of God that is within me." The energizing power to transform your life is not yours, but God's. The Bible is not a self-help book. The resurrection is not a plea that you should somehow improve yourself. The resurrection is a demonstration of God's grace freely given to totally transform our lives. When the Lord Jesus stepped across the threshold of the empty tomb, he made all things new, including your life, including my life. All things were made new. A new life transformed by grace given in the resurrection. This is what is of first importance. God has a new life for you. It is a gift of his grace. It is empowered by his grace. All you need to do is live it, to trust his grace, to depend upon it, to let it work within you and transform you from the inside out. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus is of first importance because through the resurrection, the people of God are called into service. There is work in the kingdom of God for you to do. Paul wrote, "I worked harder than any of them." The point about the resurrection here is that the resurrection is not a doorway into some idle form of life, sitting on a cloud playing a harp all day. The resurrection is a doorway into a life of service, a life given over to God that we might serve him by serving others. What a day to talk about this when we've had our pastoral care team come and encourage us to think about serving and caring for others. The work of the resurrection life is sharing in the mission of God, caring for others, going to tell others the good news of Jesus and his love for them. The work of the resurrection life is maturing as disciples, growing in worship and prayer and fellowship and learning. The work of the resurrection life is the work of servant ministry, giving ourselves to others that they might be blessed with all the blessings of God through our ministry towards them. This is what it means to share in the resurrection of Jesus. This is what it means to live the resurrection of Jesus. We serve in his kingdom. There is work for us to do. Sometimes we talk about the resurrection in ways that it sounds as though the blessings of the resurrection are only singular. They're only for me. It's only about me and my salvation and my getting to know God and my getting to heaven, whatever that might mean. That seems a great error. The resurrection of Jesus is a call and an empowerment to service and work for others. To follow Jesus into the resurrection means to follow him into the work of servant ministry, maturing as disciples, sharing in the mission of God. As you live the life of the resurrection, the blessings that you receive through being part of the kingdom of God are blessings given to you that you might give them to others. That through you a blessing from God might come to everyone you meet. That you might share the good things of the kingdom as God intended with everyone you meet. God has poured his blessing into your life, intending that you would pour it out from there into the lives of others. In a moment or two, we come to this table. We proclaim there the Lord's death until he comes again. That phrase, until he comes again, is our proclamation of the resurrection at this table. These gifts are gifts of God, gifts of his grace. Gifts to inspire and empower our service as citizens of the kingdom. These gifts are for sharing. They might be given to just a few of us here, but they are given for all, that through us God's blessing might come to all. The resurrection is in all things of first importance. Jesus lives. Jesus is king in God's kingdom. God has the victory. It is already won. Receive today the blessings of the resurrection. Receive today the grace given to you through the resurrection. Submit to that call of the resurrection that you should work and serve in God's kingdom and be a blessing to others. Let's be resurrection people. Let's pray together. Father, we give you thanks and praise today for your mighty power displayed in the resurrection of Jesus, your Son, who now is the King in your kingdom. Fix our eyes upon him, that our desire might be to know him as King and serve him as King. We pray for one another for that resurrection grace to be real and powerful in our lives. Be at work among us for this. We pray for ourselves and for one another that that call to resurrection work would be heard and answered in our lives. That we would be people who give our lives to be a blessing to others. Change our lives, transform us, bring us into your kingdom, make us resurrection people today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.